mother. She always leaned to watch for us, anxious if we were late, in winter by the window, in summer by the gate. And though we mocked tenderly who had such foolish care, the long way home would seem more safe because she waited there. Her thoughts were all so full of us she never could forget, and so I think that where she is, she must be watching yet. Waiting till we come home to her, anxious if we were late, watching from heaven's window and leaning over heaven's gate. Why God Made Moms, written by second graders. Why did God make moms? She's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Number two, why did God make moms? Mostly to clean the house. Number three, now mind you, these are second graders. Your pastor didn't come up with these thoughts. Thank you very much. Why did God make moms? To help us out when we were getting born. How did God make moms from the second graders? He used dirt just like the rest of us. How did God make moms? Magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. Number three, God made my mom just like He made me, only with bigger parts. Number three, what kind of little girl was your mom? My mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. What kind of little girl was your mom? I wasn't there, but I guess pretty bossy. What kind of little girl was your mom? They say she used to be nice. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? Number one, she has a weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that. Number three, I'd make her smarter, then she would know that it was my sister who did it and not me. And number three, I'd like to get rid of those invisible eyes in the back of her head. Oh, mercy, mother. Today we honor that highest office of mother. Mother is there at the beginning of life. The first sound that a baby hears is mother's heartbeat. Amen? You mothers, you get that joyous news that you're expecting and God blesses you with morning sickness. You get the swollen ankles. You get the unholy cravings for strange combinations of food. Can I get a witness, men? Pain in your legs. You get the waddle. Your back hurts, and then finally the day comes when your water breaks and it's time for that baby to leave mother and to come out into the world. And again, it's mother who must walk into the valley of the shadow of death just to bring that child into the world. And once she sees the child and hears that baby cry, all the sorrow and all the pain goes away for just a bit. When Jesus said in John 16:21, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. One of my top 10 things I say that tattoos me or gets under my skin is when I hear a child talk back to their mother. I don't care how old they are. You want something, Brother Lawley, that gets me to boiling fast is when I hear a child begin to talk wrong to their mother. You listen to me, young person, who do you think you are to talk to that woman who went into the jaws of death to bring you into this world? Honor thy father and mother is a commandment that never ends. I tell you, you pity my children, pity my boys, and pray for them, lest they sass their mother. Because what I have just said in my heart to other people's children, I very much mean with my own children. We don't tolerate that at all in our home. My wife was in early stage labor for 36 hours with Eric. Contractions every 5 minutes. And I remember watching her in that glider like this. Every 30 seconds they would last, and then 5 minutes apart for 36 hours. Pity that boy if he sasses his mother. Pity that boy, I mean it. Luke had the cord wrapped around his neck, and mother had to work so hard. No, it's mother that's there for each boo-boo to give kisses, comfort, and candy. Amen. It's mother who's there for every skinned knee and pinched finger and broken relationship in life and heartache that comes, and to help her with her little girl's dress on the wedding day and help her little boy adjust his bow tie on the wedding day. It's mother that's there for that. And it's the godly mother who, despite all the obstacles placed in her path, keeps the house and cooks the meal and reads her Bibles and prays for her children. And while the world may laugh and scorn at such an outdated concept, can I tell you today, as a man of God, I stand here in admiration and awe of you mothers. Some of you mothers do too. Maybe the father's not in the relationship and you have to play both roles. It's a hard thing. Mother, you do it. Some mothers have to work, and I understand. And by the way, I don't think that you're a bad mother if you work. I just think it's sometimes a question of better and best. It's best for mother to be home with the children if she can. It's best. But you're not some wicked carnal woman if you work. I believe Lydia was a seller of purple in Thyatira. She worked. So don't get that idea. I'm here to honor the office today. Someone has well said, and I agree, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. Amen. You learn so much from your mother. In our text today, we're introduced to a mother. Go back into 2 Timothy and look at it in verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 5. It says there, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." The second epistle of Timothy has a particular appeal as the last known words of a great and beloved man, the Apostle Paul. It was written with the full consciousness that the time of his departure was at hand. And it constitutes Paul's dying testimony and his dying appeal to his beloved son. Look at verse number 2. "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son." It has been called Paul's last will and testament to Timothy, and through him to the church. Here, just imagine, try to put yourself in Paul's place. He perhaps hears the Roman soldiers sharpening the axe, and he knows very soon his head will be separated from his body. He will be martyred for his faith, and with tears in his eyes, joy in his soul, and peace in his heart, he writes these words to Timothy. He writes him a fond and a faith-filled and a fearless farewell. And after the last amen at the end of the letter, he put away his pen forever. By way of introduction, if you would, look at the first 5 verses. He begins this last epistle with some declarations. He declares, first of all, his apostleship. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God." Over and over in his life, they were questioning Paul's apostleship. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, Paul took the office that Judas vacated. He was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we see not only his apostleship, but we see his affection. We see his affection to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. How he loved Timothy. Those of you who were here for our revival meeting, you will remember when my pastor came, Pastor Eric Tharp, we have a Timothy-Paul relationship. We love one another. There's great affection there. And here Paul declares his apostleship. He declares his affection. Can I say this, ladies, gentlemen? It do each one of you good that are married. I know the Raymonds this year will be married, or this week will be married 53 years. And the Pipkos just celebrated 23 years yesterday. It do each one of us that are married to say those words, "I love you." It's a declaration of affection is what it is. Here Paul declared his apostleship. He declared his affection. We see not only declarations, we see some disclosures in verse 3. We see Paul says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers. We see the disclosure of Paul's communion with the Father. We see there that he served from his forefathers. We see his consecration. And something else we see there in verse 3, with pure conscience. His conscience was clear of offense. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a Christian here today, there is no need, no want for you to walk around with guilt and sin in your life. Come and confess it to the Father and you can have a clear conscience before. Why? Because God said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We see some other disclosures. We see His perpetual prayers in verse 3, that without ceasing I have remembrance of Thee in my prayers, night and day. They were not only perpetual, they were personal. He said, I have remembrance of Thee, Timothy. And something else, they were periodic, weren't they? Night and day. Night and day. By the way, lest we think one of the things that comes later in Timothy is he talks about vain repetition. We're not supposed to pray vain repetitions as the heathen do. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with praying for something several times during the day. Amen? Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Here, his prayers were perpetual, they were personal, they were periodic. His declarations, disclosure, his desire in verse 4. I love this verse. Greatly desiring to see thee, and being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled. What was his desire? He just wanted to see Timothy. Just wanted to be around him. Just wanted to give him a hug. Just wanted to be in his presence. You see, ladies and gentlemen, people, not things, moved Paul. People. He was moved by people. Let us be the same way. You see, in America, we've got it backwards. See, we're supposed to love people and use things. But in America, we use things. Or I should say, we love things and we use people. It shouldn't be that way. We should love people. His disclosure, his desires, declaration. We see here his description of Timothy's faith, the reality of it in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Timothy had faith. We see the roots, and that's what we're going to focus on today, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and then thy mother Eunice. And then we see the reinforcement of his faith, and I am persuaded in thee also. Timothy's faith was a family faith. Timothy's faith came from his mother, Eunice, which in turn came from her mother, Lois. And it's this mother, Lois, and some other mothers in the Bible that we'd like to examine today as we look at the effects of a mother's faith. Number one, the first person affected by a mother's faith is self. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, again, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois. The first person affected by faith in Jesus Christ is self. You say, Pastor, you've said that now a couple times, faith in Jesus Christ. What do you mean by that? It is just as simple as this, ladies and gentlemen. The facts are these. We are all sinners, and all God's people said, The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No matter how much you try, no matter how much you work, no matter how good you live, you are a sinner. Just like me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The illustration there is often been used, and it's a good one. Just imagine a bow target 1,000 yards and only having a bow that'll shoot 100. You'll never hit that target because we've all come short of the glory of God. But not only that, the Bible also says faith in Jesus Christ is not only recognition of sinfulness, but recognition of payment required. Ladies and gentlemen, because we're sinners, we owe the payment for sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a wage that has to be paid, and it'll either be paid by you, yourself, or by someone else named Jesus Christ. See, the third thing is not only a recognition of sin, a recognition of payment, a recognition of what Jesus did for us. Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He never sinned one time, never had one wrong thought. Why? Because He didn't have a sin nature. He was born of a virgin, didn't have an earthly father. His father was God. And He came and He lived and He bled and died on that cruel cross and He shed His blood. And God said this in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died on that cross for you, sir, ma'am. See, you owed the wages of sin, but He said, I'll pay that for you. And if you'll trust in Me, if you'll turn from sin to Me, I'll save you. For He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, that was Lois's faith. And there's no record of when Lois got saved. If you read Acts chapter 16, you'll find out she was a devout Jew from Lystra. There's a lot of people that believe she got saved when Paul was stoned to death at Lystra and rose up and went back in and preached. But there was a personal experience that she had with Jesus Christ. Wherever, whenever, however she came to the Lord, it affected her. You know, I'm glad that salvation, true Bible salvation, still has an effect on self. You see, when I got saved, I was in a rock band. I was in the party scene. I was out to the bars, drinking the liquor, doing all that stuff, and I got saved. And then all of a sudden, Brother Jeff Becker, that stuff just didn't feel right anymore. Why? Because salvation has an effect on self. Faith has an effect on self. You know, someone as wonderful as the Lord Jesus Christ can't come into your life and it not affect you. If it hadn't affected you, oh, I don't mean you feel cold chills and you do cartwheels and you blabber in some unknown tongue. That's all garbage. Who cares? What I mean is it affects you. Affects where you go. Affects where you don't go. Affects what you watch. Affects what you don't watch. You see, the first effect of a mother's faith was on self. Let me give you another effect that I've seen through the years. Someone else that effect is affected by mother's faith is her spouse. Not only self, but spouse. 1 Peter 3:1 says, likewise ye wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And that word conversation doesn't mean the speech, it means how you live. You see, a mother that gets saved, and I've seen it many times, where a mother will come to Christ and the husband will not. And I want to tell you something, your faith, mother, is affecting your spouse. It's having an effect. I promise you it is. Brother Horst told me the story in his own life about how his mother got saved. Loomis Park Baptist Church, 1931, an invite from a friend for a revival. Came and for years prayed for her husband to be saved. Finally, amen, Brother Horst, the Lord broke through. Brother Jim Boston's back there. I'm hoping at the hog roast that his dad's going to be with us. For years, his dear mother, Marge Boston, lived the Christian life. And Brother Jim knows it's true. When the boys were astray, mother lived the Christian life. And she lived in such a way that she had such an effect on her husband that at her funeral, he walked the aisle and got saved. You see, how many men have been converted by the life of a godly mother and wife? I can tell you this, more than any man could number. Amen? One thing, Lord willing, more and more. You say, my husband's not saved. You stay at it. You stay at it. You just hang in there. I know it's hard at times. You see a husband and wife together coming to church, and in your spirit you get a little jealous. I understand that. Listen, you hang in there, Mom. You're having an effect. I promise you, you are. If you're tapped into the power line, God's working in that man's heart. You see the effects of a mother's faith. It affects self. It affects spouse. According to our text, it affects her seed. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. In this verse, you have three generations of faith. See, it was Eunice's faith, or it was Lois's faith. And then her daughter Eunice received Christ. And then her son Timothy received Christ. John Randolph, in speaking of the influence of his Christian mother, said this, "I believe I should have been swept away by the flood of French infidelity if it had not been for one thing, the remembrance of the times when my sainted mother used to make me kneel by her side and pray and take my little hands and cause me to repeat the Lord's Prayer. I doubt not that many mothers will be going on before when the saints of God ascend to the golden streets, to the throne of glory. If you have experienced the hallowing impress of a godly mother, you have been blessed with great spiritual riches." That's why you must attempt, Mama, to be faithful to, and Daddy, to have a family altar with your children. I say attempt. Doesn't always work. And by the way, it's not supposed to be an hour long. Help me. Good night. You know, we're busy people. I understand that. But we need to just take time apart. You could finish the meal and just read the Bible. And ask your children questions. It's so important that we have prayer time with your kids. Before bed, before meals. That they remember. Because you know what? You're having an effect. I see the way my wife deals with our children, and I'm so blessed. I'm just so blessed. Not only have prayer time with your children, but have prayer time each day for your children, Mama. You say, when can I do that? You can do it anytime. You can do it when you're doing the dishes, when you're driving the car, when you're doing anything. You can have prayer. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. A mother's lips impart faith to their children, but their lives really show their faith. Mothers can be tough, but they were really made to be tender, weren't they? God made you that way. Mother, would you encourage your children in faith and not discourage them? Can I just say this? And listen, I'm all for standards. I think you know me by now. Can I get an amen? I'm all for standards. We need to have standards. But I want to promise you this, Mama. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. Mark it down every time. You can have all the rules of the Pharisees. If you don't have a relationship and they don't know it comes from love, you're going to have rebellion. Maybe it'll be hidden during the teen years, but it'll pop out in their 20s. And they'll have just had enough. Let's let our children know that we love them. That's why we have the rules. See, it had an effect. This mother's faith had an effect not only on herself and on her spouse, but on her seed. Another time, number four, we see an effect on one's siblings. I admit this is a point of supposition. I don't have a scripture verse to back this up. Perhaps Lois had brothers and sisters. No doubt they would have been struck by her miraculous conversion from Judaism to Christianity. Many a brother and sister has been affected by the faith of a godly mother, sister. You say, what happened to that? What happened? So this is one of the many reasons why the Christian mother must just keep pressing on. Just keep hanging in there. Keep pressing on. I promise you, you're having an effect. God takes you like a rock and He throws you in the water and there are ripples. And those ripples don't stop. They go all the way to the shores of every side of the lake. You'll have an effect on your siblings, godly mother. You'll have an effect on seed. You'll have an effect on spouse. You'll have an effect on self. Number five, you'll have an effect on society. One of the greatest days recorded in the Scriptures is the day of the Exodus from Egypt. Israel had spent 430 years in Egypt, and 400 of them were in cruel bondage to the Egyptians. And then God, through 10 plagues, releases His children. You remember He turned the water into blood, and He had the frogs and the lice and the flies and the cattle and the boils and the hail and the locusts and the darkness, and then the death of the firstborn, and God performed mighty miracles. And what a wonderful day it was when God's people left out of Egypt. But can I tell you that whole episode in history, and by the way, that is historical. That's not just Bible. History recognizes that. Was all a direct result of a mother's faith. All a direct result of a mother and a father's faith. Jochebed, we preached on last Mother's Day. We talked about how she had Moses. Hebrews 11:23 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, you remember there was an edict from the Pharaoh that if any male Hebrew children were to be born, they were to be thrown in the river and killed. She had him. And then of course we know that according to that same verse, when he was born, he was hid 3 months. She had him, she hid him, and then she held him, didn't she? You remember the story of how she placed him in faith in that ark and put him into the Lord's care, that little ark of bulrushes, and she sent it down the river, and wouldn't you know it, it came right to where the Pharaoh's daughter was washing herself. And she opened it up and saw that little baby, and he wept. And her heart was knit to his. And Miriam, Moses' sister, came and said, do you want me to go get one of the Hebrews to nurse that baby for you? Well, who do you think it was? Jochebed. Just a coincidence. My Shakespearean would say, methinks not. Amen? Not a coincidence. The providence and sovereignty of God. But what was it? It was all because of mother's faith. Moses, this great man of the Bible, probably the greatest character in the Old Testament, had the privilege to be with Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. All came, his whole life, and everything that had affected society was based because of a mother's faith. Mom, you may feel insignificant cooking and cleaning and praying, and you're not. Amen? You are not insignificant. You are, listen, you don't have to be defeated. None of those things. Listen to me. You are having an effect on all of society. You never know. I think of you blessed mothers in our church that teach Sunday school. You never know. Mrs. Howland gave us such a wonderful testimony in Sunday school this morning. I just got to share it here in this message on society. We have a lady that's been coming to our church recently named Sheila Wood. She's here today. She came to Mrs. Howland and said, are you the Mrs. Howland that used to teach Sunday school in Brooklyn? She said, yes. She said, well, you may not remember me, but as an 8-year-old girl 40 years ago, I got saved in your class. And she said, through that, my whole family got saved. Listen to me, godly mother, you affect all of society. All of society. You just stick at it. Lastly, not only society, not only siblings, seed, spouse, self, but lastly, souls everywhere. You affect souls everywhere. John Wesley was the great preacher of the 18th century. Listen to this, this is amazing. He rode over 250,000 miles on horseback. I wouldn't even drive 250,000 miles, amen? He rode 250,000 miles on, listen to this, now some of you in your 80s, Once at the tender age of 84, he rode 240 miles in 80 days. He averaged 15 to 20 miles per day. He preached approximately 42,000 sermons. At the age of 70, he preached to a crowd estimated at 30,000. He preached a sermon entitled, "You Must Be Born Again," over 4,000 times. One day toward the end of his life, a man approached Mr. Wesley and said to him, "Mr. Wesley, why have you preached the sermon, 'You Must Be Born Again,' so often?" And John Wesley replied, "Because, sir, ye must be born again." His dear mother was named Susanna. Susanna Wesley's life was a life of toil and sorrow. In 19 years, she gave birth to 19 children, 9 of whom died as infants. Finances were always a problem. Once, after a minor disagreement, her often tyrannical husband Samuel abandoned her and her children for an entire year. But Susanna met her trials with faith in God that she had learned as a child. And by the way, who do you think she learned it from? Her mother. She was the youngest, and this is not a misprint, she was the youngest of 25 children, born in 1669 to the family of Dr. Samuel Annesley, a well-known and powerful minister. She wrote this, "I will tell you what rule I observed when I was young and too much addicted to childish diversions, never to spend more time in mere recreation in one day than I spent in private religious devotions." And I think that's still a good rule. She was as pretty and captivating on the outside as she was in her heart. She was committed in caring for her family the best possible. She held day school for her children, and her purpose was the saving of their souls. Each day before class, she set aside an hour for herself in the Scripture, reading and prayer, and then led them singing in Psalms. She trained them to obey, and all God's people said. Each had separate responsibilities. She scheduled a private appointment with each once a week for encouragement. Still a good practice. Twice their home was destroyed by fire, and God saved them from the flames. In the second fire, John was only 5 and was trapped upstairs. No one could reach him. They prayed, and John appeared at the window just in time to be grabbed before the roof caved in. She lived just long enough to see the fruits of her labors. 2 months before she died, in July of 1742, John preached a series of revival messages in their hometown of Epworth, England, to the biggest crowds that that area had ever seen. Hundreds came to Christ. With his brother Charles, he's impacted generations for Christ. During her final illness, she said this, "Children, as soon as I am released, sing a psalm of praise to God." Her marker reads as follows, "A Christian here, her flesh laid down, the cross exchanging for a crown." See, a godly mother that lives for and loves God affects the souls all around the world. You see, anything that John Wesley was, he could attribute to his mother, Susanna. All those times he had taught her probably led him to Christ. Her brother Charles, or her son Charles, we sing a lot of his hymns, one of his most famous, "And Can It Be?" You see, godly mother, you affect souls all around the world. You teach so much by reading the Bible in your home. You teach so much by giving any offerings. You teach so much by inviting others to church. You teach your children so much by witnessing to people. You affect souls everywhere, mother. And we honor you today. Godly mother. If you have a godly mother that's still living, honor her every day, but especially today. Amen? The effect of a godly mother. Our Father.